Hey, this is episode 69 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. This is our Star Wars The Force Awakens review show. Only the biggest pop culture franchise thing in the history of things, which is why we've asked Rugboy to join us geek out over Star Wars episode 7. And of course, it wouldn't be a Jock and Nerd Podcast without some solid comic book recommendations. Also, I made a droid. Let's check it out.
Hey, what's up? It's Taylor Gray, the voice of Ezra Bridger on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jock and Nerd! Hey, welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
Joining us for the show always is the innumerable felty American Rug Boy. What's up, Rugs?
Yippity skippity, dudes. What's going on?
How you doing, guys? This is going to be the first episode of the new year. So, happy new year. Happy 2016, everybody.
Yay!
All right, stop. Okay, that's enough. Moving on.
Yay.
No, this is really like we.
It's the first one of 2016.
The first one. Did you ever think it would be 2016, Rugs? That's just weird.
It's a lot of numbers. It's a lot.
I didn't think we'd get to 69 in 2016.
Episode 69. Welcome. Thanks for joining us, listener. This is our Star Wars The Force Awakens review show.
Nice.
We're going to have a lot of fun geeking out.
Is this the only one out on podcast airwaves right now?
No, this is approximately the 7,946th podcast about Star Wars The Force Awakens.
We're a little late to the game.
We're a little bit late. You may have already heard all the news and the tidbits and the Easter eggs.
This one will be the worst one, though.
This is going to be absolutely worse. So after you listen to all of those, you can come here and just relax, and there's no pressure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What's going to make ours different?
Well, that's what's going to make this magical.
Well, we have a felty American on it.
We have a puppet also.
Yeah. Yes.
That makes it different. And
it makes lots of difference.
Here's the other different thing, you guys. What's I that? Did something special. I was tinkering a little bit. I may have built a droid to join us on the show.
I don't know what that means.
Like a Star Wars droid?
I made a Star Wars droid. Here, let me bring him out. His name is DD69.
Whoa, there he is. Whoa.
Yes, yes.
So it's a real droid.
As you guys can all see, it was
DD69, or would you go double D69?
You could go double D69, DD69. I haven't turned them on yet. But as you guys can plainly see, it was very easy. I took an old Hello Kitty garbage can.
Yes.
And I taped it to those, those hoverboards that aren't hoverboards that explode?
That what you're calling it these days?
The hoverboard. It's got wheels, but they explode nicely. So I taped it.
Okay, so this thing is going to explode at some point.
Oh, absolutely. That's the beauty of it.
All over your face and chest?
You never know. It's like a ticking time bomb. Makes it exciting. I taped it to the hoverboard, and the whole thing is powered by my Nokia cell phone from 1998.
Wow. But why does it have boobs?
Well,
that's what the DD is for?
It was called DD69. Well, and 69, because this is episode 69. So let me
only because this is episode 69.
I haven't turned him on yet. I don't know if he's even going to work. Anthony, you may want to shield your eyes because he may explode. Hold on.
Yeah.
You've used a lot of innuendo.
Okay, DD, are you working? Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What? Ah, DD, you're alive. I did it. Holy shit, you guys. I feel like fucking Fisher Stevens in Short Circuit. Like Johnny Number 5 is alive. DD, say hello to everyone. Aw.
You have to do the Indian accent, don't forget.
That's you're alive. DD69, you're alive. I can't believe it.
I'm standing here beside myself.
Oh, thanks, DD. That's nice. All right, DD. Well,
what
hopefully,
the fuck am I on right now?
I don't know if he's seen the movie. Oh, he saw it 4 times. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. A lot of people are seeing this movie multiple times, which is amazing.
You've really turned him on.
Yeah, no, I turned him on, DD. And if, DD, if you need to take a break or something.
He has a probe emanating from him.
Ooh.
I don't think he likes
he
that
didn't
at
like
all.
That comment.
Don't worry about the probe. We'll get it out of you. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's enough for the bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's, what do you say? We get into this movie, fellas.
Okie dokie.
All right. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. Everyone. Anthony, your turn.
I'm not going to make an answer.
All right, never mind. All right, now, before we begin, obviously, I don't even know. We have to give the official spoiler disclaimer, but, I mean...
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
The amount of money this movie has made, I think everybody in the world has seen this movie multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah, there's people that I've never even been to the movies that went to go see this.
Yeah.
People that
like,
don't even
guys
know.
I know that never go to the movies.
Really?
Like, you go to see Star Wars? I'm like, have you even seen Star Wars? Like, I don't know where else went. So I'm like,
when I went, there was a bunch of kids there that clearly were not even old enough to see the original, or the ones that came out in the early 2000s, let alone.
And they were all jacked up.
They were
all excited. They were all
like, even know anything about Star Wars. Granted, I don't know anything, but you really don't know anything.
I mean, this thing, it felt like you had to go see it.
It was an event, yeah.
It was an event. Now, look, before we begin, I think we should all put this into context for the listener in terms of what is our relationship with this franchise. Because I kind of feel like that does affect somewhat the enjoyment of this movie for the viewer.
I would agree.
Right? So, he agrees also.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll go first. Look, like every kid growing up in the 80s, I had the toys. I had all the action figures. I saw Return of the Jedi in the theater.
Oh, fuck.
When I was a wee lad. And I don't remember if I saw the other movies first, and then I just saw this, or I saw this, and I had to go watch. It didn't matter, because I think I was 8, and at the time it was the fucking coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I used to have an old Marvel comic of the adaptation of Return of the Jedi. I remember the cover had ripped off, and I had it for years. And I would reread it and just relive it, and I would relive all the action scenes with the little figures from the movie. So that's – and, you know, I've read some of the recent comic books and watched some of the cartoon shows. So
you'd be classified as a pretty big fan.
I feel like I'm a pretty big fan, but meeting people lately who talk about Star Wars, like, clearly I'm not nearly as big.
Yeah, there's a whole level of nerdness that you're not even close to.
No, and I had no idea, and I'm nowhere near that. I am the level of nostalgia, comic book growing up, nerdiness, attachment, and kind of the feeling, it is and what it means for my childhood. Rugs, what's your relationship?
Well, basically, I remember this guy, my next-door neighbor's, had one of those projection televisions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the green and the red.
Those things are huge. Yeah, the three lights, the red, green, and the blue.
Yeah, and they would project onto the wall, and he had this screen. And I remember I went to his house once, and he had Star Wars on. I think he got it on VHS. And I saw the first Star Wars on a big screen in someone's basement. So, I mean, I'm always in a basement somewhere. Then I made my mom take me to see Return of the Jedi, and my mom could barely, like, understand what the fuck was going on, but she took me because I wanted to see it. And then she always says, I took you to see Return of the Jedi, remember? So, like, so I remember that she took me to see that at a very young age. And then everybody that I knew was a Star Wars fan. One of my best friends growing up was a fucking huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew about it from this guy's perspective. A lot of the shit of my opinions that formed about Star Wars were influenced by some of my friends. But as I got older and they re-released everything and I got to see it again as an adult, I have a different appreciation for it.
Yeah.
And it's very uneven. It's, in my opinion, it's a very uneven fucking franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
But I still like it. I think what they've introduced into the world is actually pretty cool. They owe a lot of it to Edgar Rice Burroughs and The Princess of Mars.
And maybe Akira Kurosawa, Hidden Fortress, and Buck Rogers, samurais, westerns, all of that. He just took good things, put it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put it in space, basically, right?
Yeah, and put it in space, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a great thing, and I'm a big fan. As I said, I would never last in, like, a trivia game.
Yeah.
About specifics. Like, I don't know, like, every kind of alien that there is.
I mean, I know, like, yeah, I know a lot of the names of the planets, but not nearly as much as some of these hardcore fucking things.
I know, like, maybe I can name maybe, like, six planets.
Yeah, I think I could do six. I could name that in six. Name Star
Anthony,
Wars in six planets.
Could you do six planets?
I can't. I can't name one planet.
Well, Anthony, let's, what's your relationship to Star Wars?
So, space movies have never really been my thing. Even Guardians of the Galaxy.
But you like aliens.
It's not really. It's a different kind of space movie. And even that's not really. I mean, I liked it a lot, but Star Wars has never been my thing. It's Star Trek, Star Wars. I've never been able to relate to them. I remember seeing the episodes 4 through 6 as a child and liking them then. I don't know. I don't remember much at all from them now.
Did you? You probably didn't watch them a lot.
No, I watched them one time, rented them from Blockbuster, watched them one time, returned it.
See, I've seen the original three movies I've seen multiple times.
If they're on, I'm not stopping to watch those movies.
And they used to be on TV a lot. Do you remember this, Rugboy? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
I feel like they were always on television. And it was like, because there was no Star Wars, and it had come into like whatever TV rights. And it was always on TV, and I would always watch it.
So, and then as far as episodes 1 through 3, I saw episode 1 in the theater as a child.
As a child. Okay.
As maybe like 12 to 11 years old.
Okay.
Just don't remember anything from it.
Oh, really?
Never saw episode 2 and 3. And so basically my relationship with Star Wars is I don't really give a shit about Star Wars. Okay. I don't care about the franchise at all. It means nothing to me other than all the pop culture moments that everyone knows about.
And that's going to be great to have that point of view on this, because it kind of is almost catered towards that, honestly, a little bit, do you think?
Maybe. I think it is. Well, we'll get into it.
But. All right, Ruggs. Let's look. This is where I think we should start. What? Oh. DD69 says he's related to a VHS player. So.
Oh.
There might have been his grandfather.
Well, and it could be a Betamax player.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. So let's start with, by now everyone's probably, the movie's gone through that thing that all these movies go through these days, which is everyone loves it for a week.
Immense love and then an intense dissection.
And then the internet just turns on it and fucking trolls the movie hardcore.
I think what happens is it's like when you're out at a party and you hook up with a chick, but then you don't really like look at the chick at all. You're just kind of like drunk and you have beer goggles.
Yeah.
And then when you go out on that second date, when you're both stone sober, you're like, oh, wait a minute. This girl's like a little weird.
Yeah. I like that analogy. It's
strobe
also,
light honey. That's
it's also
that's
from
called.
The, just from my perspective of not being a huge Star Wars fan, it's going into it and being initially happy because it hits a lot of good beats. But then when you think more critically about it, you realize that there's a lot of holes in this shit.
Look, the reason this is so big is that it's the first movie after Lucasfilms being sold to Disney, right?
Yeah, yep.
It's the first movie that's going to try, and it has to live up to those shitty prequels. So this is all the things they're going up against. They just want it to feel like Star Wars. Now,
I heard a lot of stuff too that no one thought an episode 7 would be made, right?
No.
Where a lot of people didn't know that there was going to be an episode 7.
Well, you know, that's part of what I love is I never thought because we'd be seeing episode fucking 7. I remember for the long gap between movies, there was rumors of, he has written 1, 2, 3. That'll never get made. And then that gets made. And then you hear like, is there even a 7, 8, or 9? And then there's rumors like maybe there is. I'm like, who thought we would be at episode seven?
Something to, like, when the prequels came out, you knew where it was going to end. With this is all new content, all original content.
Well, hopefully. Originality can be debated a little bit.
The intent in making a sequel is that you don't know where it's going to go. There's a lot more mystery to what's going to happen.
I think that's what they had opposite to when he made the original Star Wars. Like, that whole thing was a gamble. He didn't know if anyone would come see it, if there would be any more movies, even though it was planned. But look, let's start with just what we liked. We'll get into the box office stuff and all the other stuff later because that's kind of interesting. But let's just go with what we like. Initially, here, I'm going to start. I remember sitting there and I bought a ticket like opening night, no problem, an hour before. I saw it in 3D. And as soon as that fucking – the Star Wars came on and you heard this. I mean – And the scroll starts, I just had like a big smile on my face. And I feel like I had a big smile on my face the whole time. Yeah. And it starts right away with, they just tell you, you know, Luke is missing and everyone's looking for him. And I really enjoyed it. Like at the end, I was like, wow, that's a really fun movie. It was a good Star Wars movie. And then when I started thinking about it and recapping it, I was like, hey, wait a minute. I've seen a lot of these things before.
Happen to you during the movie, though.
It you know what?
I found myself during the movie going, "Wait, no,
Imran tends to fall for hype.
No, I'll
yes,
tell you,
you get wrapped up in the moment.
I do, but there's one moment in the movie where undeniable. I don't care who you are, it's a little bit eye rolling, and it did take me out of it. Was the third fucking goddamn Death Star again? Like, I think I laughed out loud. Covered my mouth quickly.
I thought we were in the what do we like section.
Sorry. So back to what I like. Look, I like that it felt like Star Wars.
Okay.
I like that it was a really good Star Wars movie, and it felt like Star Wars. And that they...
What does that mean, though? A really good Star Wars movie.
I know.
What does that mean?
It had that feeling. It had that feeling. It had emotion. It had heart. I felt the emotion from the characters. It wasn't... it was tactile. Like, the world was there. And so, for me... Okay, here's the thing. It hit all the right little callbacks. It did get to be a bunch afterwards. I was forgiving it in the moment. But it was so comfortable that... That made you feel good, and I was waiting for where's the new thing? And by the time you get to the new thing at the end, the movie's over. And I'm like, wait, that's where I want the movie to start. How about you start there and show me what happens?
Well, if we're talking about what we like.
Yes.
I'm going to get job, a little more.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I failed.
I don't know what Imran's talking about. I think he's trying to say it felt like Star Wars.
I did right. like it.
I think there was a...
There's a familiarity,
There's a nostalgia factor and all that other stuff. Now, I'll go along with what I liked. Okay, first of all, I love the direction of this movie. I like the way that it moved. The pacing was great. You always felt like you were in the middle of something. Something was going to happen, and the camera rolled by. It never felt amateurish. It always felt like it was always like, even when that they started off with that flickering light in the stormtroopers in the ship as they're about to land to storm this place. Like, it had tension. It had, like, something that other Star Wars didn't have. Like, all the other prequels, they didn't have that. And had that drama and was very well directed, and the action sequences were amazing.
Yeah.
Amazingly directed. The acting was the best of any Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
No, I agree. The cast really was amazing in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the acting, the way that they emoted and stuff, it was good. I mean, I'm going to say it's on par with Empire as far as level of acting and drama. Okay, so I love that. I love BB-8. I loved, kind of like the flow of the movie. Overall, it did feel like Star Wars, like Imran was saying. It was very well directed. It moved really well. The design of all the art direction, everything was superb.
Yeah, some of the concept art is stunning too. That's what I love.
Yeah, so I mean, like, everything was there. All the elements for a great action, sci-fi, space movie, Star Wars. It really did, like, cut a new, you know, shape into what Star Wars is. It really did, like, redefine it, okay? This is the new era of Star Wars. Kind of like what they did with Star Trek. It repackaged Star Trek so it's, like, more palpable for people. And Star Wars is the same thing.
Common tone, J.J. Abrams.
Well, that's the thing is, while I was kind of dismayed that they had to follow this trend that everything is doing, I feel like he executed it the best so far. If you look at, like, Jurassic World, Terminator, the X-Men, Days of Futures Past, this was a really smart, clever way.
I think Days of Future Past is a better film.
Really?
Yeah.
To bring this franchise back and start it up again. And have a good starting point for this generation, which is what all those other movies are trying to do.
Yeah, that's a trend.
I think this one did it best.
But Days of Future Past doesn't feel like it restarts anything.
No, it does.
It's a continuation.
All those people don't die at the end, and none of that. Movies don't happen.
They started it so that you could make new stories and not have to worry about
the Phoenix thing and all that other stuff, shit that happened in 2 and 3.
They kind of erased some stuff.
Yeah.
Would you like my thought?
Yeah, your turn. Go ahead. Cool. I have more things you like, but you go now.
Okay. Of course you have more things, Imran. You're never a loss for words.
I forgot them.
So from my perspective, you know, when people are like, oh, it was a good movie. Like, literally for me, this was just a good movie. Okay. Like Rugboy said, the acting was great. I thought whoever played Finn was good. John Boyega was really good. Daisy Ridley was really good.
Adam Driver.
I liked the guy that played what's the fuck, Poe? The guy is Apocalypse.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah.
Oscar Isaac was
great
really
diversity.
Good. Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. They were all really good. Really good actors. Boyega was actually really funny.
Yeah.
I liked seeing Boyega and Daisy Ridley on screen together.
Yeah, they have great chemistry.
Great chemistry. I liked them. I thought everything looked really good for the most part. There was some CGI that wasn't great, but it didn't look cheesy ever. Like, some of the 70s stuff looks cheesy.
Yeah,
this stuff never looked cheesy to me. And then there was
overly polished either, you know, like,
no.
That's what the problem with the prequels were. It was too
glossy. Yeah, no, it looked, it was good. It seemed like a lot of it was filmed on screen. And then I thought it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of I'm not familiar with the Star Wars franchise, so I didn't realize that there was going to be a ton of like comedy, and lots of like Boyega's stuff was really funny. Him being like a fish out of water and pretending like he's the Rebels or
The Resistance.
The Resistance, and then he's not really in the Resistance.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting turn to take a stormtrooper and kind of learn about him, and then take him out of being a bad guy and into a good guy. I thought those were all good plot points. So I thought overall it was a fun movie, and it was good.
It's a good movie.
Good movie.
I love the sense of scale that we got to experience, where she's scavenging in this big giant ships, Star Destroyer, cool, and she's sitting at the base of that, and you could see how big everything is. I love, this is the first of all, I think this is the most comedy that's in any Star Wars movie.
Is that not a thing?
They're not this kind of, it was borderline slapsticky.
A little bit. When they're running around in the market.
Where he's, Kylo Ren is destroying things and the stormtroopers turn the corner and they're like, oops, no, let's go back. You don't want to mess with him right now. It was almost slapsticky, but the humanized these stormtroopers, that's also a first.
Okay.
Because usually the stormtroopers,
they're just faceless.
They get
robots.
Shot and they fall over. You never see them. Like, you saw one bleed? We've never seen a stormtrooper bleed. And for him to take his helmet off, that was amazing. You've never seen that shit before.
Yeah, that's new.
And then he's a black guy, and I'm like, how many fucking ethnic stormtroopers do they have? Do you think there's, a Pakistani stormtrooper?
I thought it was cool, too, that they were almost kind of Jewish internment. What do you call those camps?
Concentration camp.
Nazi camps.
Where they get just a number.
They expanded a little bit about being a stormtrooper. That they're snatching kids and brainwashing them, and they just have a number. And what was he? FN-2178.
But I like that that's where Poe, right, got his name.
No, Finn. Poe gave him his name.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Poe was like, oh, FN.
I'm going to call you Finn. Yeah. He goes, I like that. No, and his excitement in the movie is just so contagious.
Who?
Finn
and Poe, when they're around each other, they're like broing out. It's pretty good.
The diversity is amazing. You have a female woman, a black guy, and a Hispanic guy as your leads.
He's Hispanic.
Yeah, that's good for the future and the franchise. And little kids watching this movie now and being like, hey, that could be me. Huh? You want that?
I think it's cool. I mean, the fact that the stormtrooper guy, John Boyega, was black, I didn't care. That was a big deal a couple of months ago when the trailers came out.
Right.
That, oh, there's a black stormtrooper. But you got to understand that in the post-Jedi era, and actually they stopped using clones of Jango Fett, and they started recruiting all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they explain that. They give you a little nugget there. They tell you, okay, they're taking these kids up. They're snatching up their kids. And now I'm thinking about hide your kids, hide your wife. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't even know. I just got that sidetracked.
Imagine there's a Pakistani stormtrooper who's just making excuses and trying to get out of work because he's fucking lazy. He's just like, boss, I don't do the stormtrooping today, boss.
You hit on a few key points, Imran, and you were having a little trouble explaining it, but I think a lot of I've read a ton of reviews, so I've read the positive ones too, and what people seem to like, and maybe this is what you were trying to say, is that there was so much nostalgia that it felt there was a lot of familiar. There's a lot of comfort in seeing this movie and seeing things that you've seen before with a little bit of a twist. Is that where you were getting at?
Yes, because the stormtrooper exposition bit was nice. I could have used a little more exposition bits like that. This movie really didn't have a lot of exposition. It was kind of very straightforward, simple hero's journey. But that's what the original Star Wars was, a hero's journey. And and in that movie they threw in things that they didn't explain, not knowing that if there was going to be another movie. Mm-hmm. So
too
many callbacks. Let's move into this.
Wait, one more thing. Kylo Ren. I think he was very good in that he was not a one-dimensional villain. He was basically a dude with a lot of issues.
Very different than your usual dark Sith in these series that are they can control their emotions.
He was like a little baby.
He was a little hipster crybaby,
crying
guy.
And destroying things for no reason.
He is still training. Technically, he keeps saying he has to complete his training. Mm-hmm. And I do love that he just has a little hissy fit and destroys shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, anything else?
And him being, I don't know, him being Han's son didn't really do anything for me, but I guess that's a big moment, right, in Star Wars history?
Well, I mean,
Han and Leia's kid? By the way, she hasn't aged well, but not never.
Oh boy, she's handled
well,
that
she's
well.
Older, she's old. I mean, she's an old lady.
Dude, she's awesome. Though. Have you read like the stuff that she's
said?
She's badass,
stuff.
Dude. She's
badass.
Great. She don't give a fuck. She's like, look, blow me. We have an old. I'm old. What do you want from me? And she's right. I wish we got to see more of General Leia Organa. That's kind of a cool role for her to take.
That's an interesting spot to put someone like
yeah,
that, right?
That's great.
She was like the love interest for all the movies and like the sex symbol kind of, right? People liked her a lot.
Yeah, she was.
I think she grew into that at some point. I think that
it wasn't intended.
They cast her because I don't think they cast her because she was hot.
Oh no,
they cast her because I don't think she was traditionally hot. I think by the time Jedi came on, they kind of, you know, they took that angle.
I mean, the first movie she was like 19. And then, yeah, by the time Jedi came around, they're like, all right, she's very popular. Let's put her in a Slave Leia outfit.
They also went with the casting decision of casting unknowns in key roles, which is what Star Wars has done in the past.
Yes,
right?
And
I thought that was good.
Yeah, that's absolutely necessary.
I like seeing new names.
Like, these kids are going to be household names tomorrow.
They're already
Adam Driver is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. Everyone's going to know these
Daisy
kids.
Daisy Ridley had, like, no credits to her name until she got cast.
Yeah. I followed her on Twitter.
You fanboy.
Hey, maybe she'll come on the show. She's nobody now. No, she's somebody now. She did
she's
great,
huge
though, man.
Already.
She's great.
Holy crap, but yeah. But you love like great performances, and technically had one lens flare, which I didn't mind that.
That's
like,
an Abrams thing.
Yeah, wow. He throws in lens flare. There was only one. It was tastefully done, but yeah, technically amazing. I saw it in 3D. It enhanced it very well. It was very enjoyable.
Dude, the 3D gave me a headache.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
I was
IMAX 3D.
You don't, Ruggs, you like it or you don't?
I hate it.
IMAX. I did IMAX 3D.
Oh, you did the IMAX 3D.
There's no other way. You couldn't see it in IMAX regular.
It was all sold out.
They didn't have it. It was only IMAX 3D.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you just had to do it.
So it gave me a headache.
So it was large and in 3D. I like the 3D once in a while. I'll splurge for the 3D movie.
I'll splooge for it.
But I'll splooge for it. Okay, so,
do you
want to
get into the band?
What did we not like? Too many callbacks, perhaps?
This is you two, so is it too many callbacks?
DD69 seems to think so.
I don't think it's the callbacks. I think it's just the out-and-out unoriginality of everything. Mm. I mean, I a lot of people are going to get pissed off when I say this. Okay, you make a Star Wars movie. You don't – just like the Death Star, the third time, like that's too many times.
Who, like, you gotta stop with this thing again. And plus, who's designing these fucking things? There's never any goddamn railings on the Death Star. Who is this engineer that can't spend a little? Put a railing in there,
people. This was supposed to be like a bigger planet, right?
But, you know, space OSHA is going to shut you down. And then the platform that Han went out to meet, why was that even there? Like, it seems to have no reason to be there. And then there's always a hole that goes nowhere that people fall into.
Yeah, they just have bottomless pits.
Everywhere. You're in a planet. It's a bottomless pit.
You're hitting upon a bigger point. I mean, there's a lot of things that don't make sense, but it seems like a lot of retreads of things.
A lot of the same thing. But railings. Just put some fucking railings in. It makes me nervous that you could just fall over.
It's a good observation, Ron.
Plus, I thought the Starkiller also looked like a giant Pokemon catching toy.
Oh, yeah. It did look like a Pokemon ball.
Looked like a Pokemon ball.
But it's always looked like a Pokemon ball. Pokemon balls are
always... No. Usually, this time it was like a planet with like a ribbon and a big volcano thing. Usually, it's like a metal geodesic planet dome thing.
I think you just described the same exact thing.
No. It never had that stripe with a circle.
Oh, got it.
It's the Death Star has a circle nipple thingy.
Circle nipple thingy.
Oh. This one's more like a Death Star vagina. It's got a slit.
Yeah.
All right. So I think it's more deadlier.
That's how it lures you in.
It's more deadlier.
Oh, shit.
The stuff that I didn't like, this is a long list. This is a really long, so get comfortable.
All right, everyone.
Imran will interrupt you. Don't worry.
Grab some popcorn.
All right. So obviously, they have way too many things that have been done. They basically took the plot of the first Star Wars Episode 4 and redid it.
Well, there was stuff from like the first three movies. They took like the best bits from the first three movies and put it all in this movie.
Now they did the twist where you know the bad guy, you know that he's you know got that they're trying to turn him back to good. Okay, they got the. You got the stormtrooper that turns good. There's about a lot about trying to get bad people to turn good in this one, you know. And then the other ones were about, like, Luke not turning bad. They're trying to keep Luke from turning to the dark side. All right, that was, like, the old one. All right, but so there's those, like, things that they flipped on their head a little bit, so to keep you entertained. But the things I didn't like, okay? Let's start with Kylo Ren. All right? Kylo Ren's powers are indescribable because he's all omniscient in one scene, and then the next scene, like, he gets beat
by, like, newbies.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. Okay, let me just talk about this. Okay, when you're in the dark side, when you're using the dark side of the Force, the shittier you are as a person, the more powerful you become.
Right, you use all the rage. You use that emotion, yeah. Right? Rage and hate.
If you watch Revenge of the Sith, all right, Anakin goes and kills all the younglings, and he becomes even more powerful, and his eyes start to glow, and he's got the fucking sick power, all right?
Yeah.
All right, so Kylo Ren, who at the beginning of the movie, stops a blast just holds it in the air.
That was pretty impressive.
And, like, just fucking shows that he's very super powerful. He kills his father. He should be, like, Super Saiyan at this point. He should be, like, Kamehameha. He should be, like super powerful.
Super charged up, yeah.
Yeah.
But then he gets shot right away.
Yeah, but see, that should be nothing.
Yeah, he should. Plus, he should have been able to stop that shit if he stopped the fucking blast before.
Yeah, he stops blasts all the time.
But he did kill Jedis, and you wouldn't know this from the movie, but in the flashback scenes.
What are you talking about?
So when she goes to grab the saber, there's all those flashback scenes. Yeah. One of them, apparently, is the moment where Kylo kills the Jedis that Luke's training.
Oh, got it.
There's bodies everywhere.
So this is also the same guy that killed all those Jedis that Luke trained, and Luke was so afraid of that he went he hightailed it into fucking Shangri-La over there on an island. All right, so this guy's so powerful that a guy who was a janitor, stormtrooper that was a pussy, picked up a lightsaber. And the guy was able to injure him.
Right, and a girl who's never been trained to anything, just did her first Jedi mind trick earlier in the day, can, like, take him down. Like,
That whole thing undermines everything that we learn. It's just, like, makes it, and a lot of people are apologizing. I hate apologist people that come in and go, well, he's a Sith in training, or he's not even a Sith. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. You establish that he killed a bunch of people and Luke was so afraid of him that he went away.
Yeah.
All right? This guy should not and I love the character Finn, but Finn should not even be able to get in one hit.
I agree.
No, none of these guys should be able to lay a hand on him.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah.
So what he's saying as a fan as someone that doesn't know anything about the films. I didn't know that the dark side made you stronger or anything. This film was very reliant on people knowing all this stuff.
It really was.
Okay, so for me not knowing that, I just assumed he was, like, super powerful in the beginning. It seemed like he got less powerful as the movie went on.
Yeah.
I was like, and even for me as a new fan, I'm like, first off, you establish Finn is this fucking loser stormtrooper.
There's no reason
he should be able to, like Rugboy said, but Rey, like, she literally just learned her powers, like, 5 minutes ago. And now she's able to beat this guy? Like, I read that in the original three films, A New Hope and all that, that when Luke fights Darth Vader, he doesn't even beat him in the first.
He gets his ass whipped. He trains a lot.
But this girl that, like, picked up the lightsaber 2 minutes ago and now can whip his ass, it didn't make sense from the story. Just taking this story and the way things have played out so far, I didn't get how she could be that powerful that quickly.
She's what you call a fast learner.
You didn't see any learning.
No, you didn't see no learning.
Well, that's the thing. You see, okay, let's talk about canon. All right? When they did the prequels, Anakin was supposedly this kid who was, like, off the charts. Like, Qui-Gon was like, holy shit, this guy is so powerful. Like, we got to take him to Yoda. All right? He was pod racing at a young age, creating robots and shit. He was very, very, like, you know, special. But he did not know how to use the Force until he had trained for, like, years. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, how did this Force just awaken now? I found it interesting that Kylo Ren knew that there's a girl with the Force, because he freaks out when the guy goes, they were saved by a girl. He goes, what girl? So I feel like he's aware of her to some extent.
There's more to her than meets the eye, right?
But did the Force just start, like, that day? or what? Did it get triggered when she went near the lightsaber?
She's got to be related to like Luke or Leia, right?
Yeah, well, I would say Luke's daughter, or she was a Padawan of Luke's.
Yeah,
I hope it's not that though, because you know what that does is that's kind of like it says that only Skywalkers can have the Force.
I've also seen that she could be Leia and Han's daughter, or some sort of like stepbrother, stepsister to Kylo Ren, so that there's that brother sister dynamic. But instead, it's kind of reversed.
But they're
again.
10 years. They're 10 years separated by age in the movie.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, she could have. But the other two things. First of all, it'd be cool if she was a nobody and she was just born of the Force. However,
does that happen in Star Wars canon?
Why not? Fucking do something new. Anakin was like a virgin birth, wow. And he just had it. Or, listen, the only other person that's been able to do that Jedi mind trick that we've seen in any of these movies is a Kenobi, is Ben Kenobi.
Oh, it could be a Kenobi.
What if she is a Kenobi?
Possible.
Is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, Ben Kenobi dies, and it could be maybe it's his great-granddaughter or something, but I don't know. That's a stretch. I'm saying that it's either a Padawan that Luke trained that this is what I'm just going to extrapolate. All right, so Kylo Ren's training under Luke Skywalker, all right, and then he does the flip out and he kills everybody and Luke Skywalker hides. Maybe this girl was one of the other Padawans that was his rival, or maybe the new ingenue, a young kid. But how does she not know that she has these powers?
Yeah.
You know, maybe
someone stashed her there on Jakku and said that we're coming back. Like in that, you also see that the Simon Pegg plays that Plunkett, the guy who sells the rations, and he
that was Simon Pegg.
That was Simon Pegg. So in that flashback, when she's a little girl, he's pulling her. Like someone dropped her off.
How many times did you see this movie?
Well, I may have seen it a second time, but I don't know if I stayed awake throughout through the.
You really were observant. I didn't notice any of this.
Well, I may have read a bunch of articles.
No, I saw that.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, Rey seemed overpowered, like greatly overpowered by the end.
Now, do you think she's a Mary Sue?
What? I keep seeing that.
What's that mean?
Can somebody explain what that
okay,
is?
Okay, a Mary Sue. This all started. I mean, this all started in like fan fiction when people used to write Star Trek fan fiction and put themselves into the Star Trek universe.
Okay.
A Mary Sue is like whenever someone would write a shitty character that would be all too powerful and like too perfect. And they're like, oh, so like, it's for guys and girls.
Like Mary Sue is a perfect foil to anything.
Yeah. Like basically like, like if they have a flaw, it's very like minute, you know, like, so you don't have like a character that's too good at everything. Like she's too good at everything.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have any flaws.
I guess you're just supposed to assume that she like trained in the desert. She was good with that bow staff.
There's more to meets the eye because she keeps hinting at that she was waiting for someone to come back to Jakku. There's no reason why they would keep harping on that point unless it's someone big.
But Anthony, did you buy like that she's a gearhead and she can fix stuff and she's trained in combat?
I bought that she was a gearhead and that she was resourceful. I didn't buy that she could learn how to beat Kylo Ren in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and all of a sudden she's great with the Force. Like she's great at everything.
I bought she was great up until when she starts
pulling that shit. You're like, whoa, that was really quick. Like again, only fucking Ben Kenobi's been able to pull that, and we've always been led to
think about all the main characters. Luke was flawed.
Yeah.
Luke was what's
missing. Yeah.
He was flawed. He was,
He was a whiny little bitch in the first movie.
He was whiny. He was naive, you know?
Yeah.
He was like a little idiotic.
Was he overzealous too and would jump in without knowing what's going on?
Yeah. He didn't listen. He never listened. He was impetuous.
Impatient. Like, yeah.
Yes. And, and he was a coward in some ways. He was afraid of Darth Vader, you know? So, like, he was flawed in a lot of ways. And then Anakin was also flawed. Anakin was prone to anger. Anakin was prone to being, uncontrollable. And so this one doesn't have any flaws, this new Jedi. Yeah. So we don't know of them yet. But they should have given you a hint of something. You know?
Yeah, they need to introduce some kind of weakness moving forward so that, she doesn't turn into a Mary Sue. Thanks for explaining that. I keep seeing that everywhere. And
can I touch upon here? Can I interject one point?
Yes.
So moving off of Rey just a little bit, my biggest pet peeve with this film, or biggest thing that I did not like is that Luke Skywalker is basically like one of the only names I know, right?
Yeah.
His whole deal was he was reduced basically to a MacGuffin. He was basically someone that everyone was trying to get after.
Yeah,
right?
They were looking for him, and then...
So
yeah.
Usually these films, the whole film is basically about finding Luke Skywalker,
that's
which
it.
Is a very thin plot at best.
Yeah, very,
right?
Very straightforward.
Yeah, and why do you need a map to find him? You just need coordinates.
But why? But if he didn't want to be found, why is there a fucking map he's leaving?
Right.
What are you doing? And how could you not... Yeah, it didn't make sense.
So it's thin at that point already. Usually in most films, you find the MacGuffin and things like pick up. This film, you find the MacGuffin, the movie ends.
That's
what the fuck?
That was yeah.
What am I watching here?
What
kind of film is this?
I wanted.
It's a film about finding someone. That's what it is.
Sometimes it felt like this was just like a big setup movie, like a big extended trailer to get to that point.
That's
and
what I've gathered.
When I got there, I was like, "Oh, this is a movie I want to see." Now go, and then the fucking black run the credits.
Well, they did that on purpose.
Well,
I was very calculated. That they did that to try and give the next installment. So I mean, I get that, but I didn't like that R2-D2 turns on magically. Like, even if Luke is behind that and turned him on through the ether with his Jedi powers, turned on R2 or R2. I don't know, R2 was programmed to go on at some point when something happened. The awakening in the Force happens, maybe he turns on. I don't know. They're gonna have to answer this shit in the next thing. But I hate when they do stuff like that, where they're like, "Oh, we'll explain it later." That's a J.J. Abrams thing. We'll explain it later. Mm. Like Lost, we'll explain it later.
Yeah.
Oh, we know the answers to this shit. Yeah, right. No, they don't know shit. They're just gonna make it up as they. This is what they do. They make the movie, then they wait for the fans to solve all their problems, and then they write the movie.
And they write that in.
Yes,
well,
that
brings a good point. But R2 was like a literal Deus ex machina. Like, he was a machine that caused the thing. Like, you can't get any more literal than that. You had that great article you sent over by Devin Faraci.
Fan fiction.
About, is everything fan fiction now? And and you think about, J.J. Abrams grew up watching this stuff, and he has Disney also breathing down his neck going, look, just don't fuck this up. Make it feel like Star Wars. We could go from there. That I think he pulled off an amazing feat at kind of pleasing everyone. I mean, and I don't know if the box office numbers reflect that or
they're the way
it's Star Wars. But he did hit a nerve with a really broad group of fans.
They it seemed like to me in doing some little research after I watched the film, because I saw the film and I was like, I want to know more. So then I did a ton of research, and it seems like what JJ did is he played it very safe.
It's very safe.
Very safe film that he knew audiences would like because they've liked these things in the past. So he went with something like that. But in doing so, it seems like he's kind of regressed a lot of the characters. So Han Solo and Leia, like, they were at different places, and it seems like they're back to being their old selves, in their 20s.
I was like, oh, fucking Han is smuggling again? What are you doing? Like,
right.
He should have been, like, a general or advanced his character and his position or something.
So you didn't – it seems like to me, and this is my biggest confusion with why the movie is, like, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and making all this money, is I don't think they gave you anything new.
No, just
right?
Tidbits of – but this is the trend in the movie industry.
It's newish.
Yeah. Exactly. Plus, he also knew that we're going to make fucking three more movies, so I don't have to explain.
He doesn't have
to
direct the next one.
No, but he set the pieces, and
Ryan Johnson, Colin Trevorrow.
And you forget that if you could put yourself in 1977 when the first Star Wars movie came out. This is the one thing that was missing from this movie, was that movie was so groundbreaking and original and pretty much was like the Casablanca for, sci-fi blockbuster movies. Everyone's pulled cliches from that movie and nobody had seen anything like that. I kind of was hoping that they wouldn't follow this trend that's been going on and try to tap into some of that but you can't recapture that again because times are different. And
well, Here would be the, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but here would be the devil's advocate. They did recapture it. It's gonna break all box office records. I think it'll be the highest grossing film of all time. So in some sense,
you could
say they did recapture it.
They recaptured the feeling.
Because for it to break those records, it's fans seeing it, liking it so much that they're seeing it again and again and again.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. People are watching it for, you know, for a lot of reasons. They want to recapture that feeling that they had, the nostalgic feeling when they went to go see the movie. And they're also looking to see clues. They're also looking to analyze it. Yeah. Because they feel like there's these two parties that automatically form. That I love it and I'm going to defend this shit till I die. Yeah. Where I'm going to pick this apart now because I need to – because this doesn't make sense. So you know, there's people going to see it a second, third times to kind of investigate those things. Is that a good thing? I don't know. People are going to see a movie to pick it apart and see see if anything makes sense. That's what I got.
Yeah, and there's like heated debates on the internet. Like people are shooting out and they're like, well, no, that's because this. They explained that in the movie.
Well, look, even if all the apologists want to sit there and fix all the problems that JJ did with the script, the things that are obviously bad, like why would you have so many coincidences?
Yeah.
Is he planning on writing this in, like that Luke was in? I keep on hearing this, that people are going to say that Luke was a masterminding all these pieces to fall together so that Rey could become the next Jedi.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
The Millennium Falcon was there on purpose. Like, he engineered that the Millennium Falcon. Why the fuck would the Millennium Falcon be just sitting there
fucking
years?
I didn't hear that one.
It's like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? The Millennium Falcon just sitting there?
But how could
Han Solo's looking for it?
Yeah. But how convenient was it?
Let me hit on those coincidences, too, because that is something I noticed, too, is so, like, what's her fucking name? Daisy's character.
Rey
meets fucking Finn just because he happens to crash land on this planet. Right?
Yes.
They meet.
Buy that.
Right?
Okay, that
okay you could buy that. But then there's the Millennium Falcon there. That happens to be on this fucking planet. Then they get in the Millennium Falcon. Yep. As they get out, Han Solo
just
finds
happens
us.
To be right
now,
there looking.
Now, from what they've established to me, this is just my perspective. Star Wars is this vast universe. The Millennium Falcon could go at light speed to all different parts of the fucking galaxy, right? Yeah. So for those four coincidences to happen within like one planet's atmosphere is fucking amazing.
Yeah, no,
that's 50 minutes of a movie.
They really messed with the space of everything because it would appear
Star Wars is supposed to be vast,
but
right?
It would appear like all everything in this movie happened like in a tiny thing. Like when the Starkiller blew up those five planets, they're so far away that they technically shouldn't have been able to see the fucking that happened.
Right.
Like there's no way.
When they were, this is the thing about the Starkiller. All right, at the end of the movie, the Starkiller is targeting the planet that Leia's on.
Right.
And she's just sitting there.
Nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to be on a ship getting the fuck out of there as soon as possible because they can't blow you up if you're in light
but
speed.
But isn't Star Wars supposed to, like, it's supposed to be vast, right?
Yeah.
Because
they're always jumping through light speed and showing up fucking millions of light
If you're having light speed, that means it has to imply that there's a vast universe.
Everybody knows where the light speed tunnel exit ramps are, I guess, then they just fucking take it and get there.
They did a really poor job, too, when the Death Star or whatever it's called was blowing up those planets. Me as a viewer, I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
So
they just fired this thing and killed these planets that were part of the Rebel Alliance. Huh?
I feel like they didn't really I feel like it would be hard to judge. Like, why are the good guys good? Why are the bad guys bad? Why is there a Republic and a Resistance? And there's a First Order. And who do they? I could see that because
it definitely was relying upon me seeing the other movies.
Yeah, right? And they don't really explain what's going on.
No. Because there was, as you mentioned, there was no exposition.
No, there's barely any exposition.
What do they get out of this anyway?
Who?
That's what I want to know. There's always something that – whenever you establish some kind of like totalitarian or you take
fascist
over something –
fascist regime or something.
Yeah, yes. Like what do they want? Like what they just want to control these planets for what? The resources?
What the fuck does the First Order want?
Who's that big ghost guy that talks on
– Snoke.
That's he wants Andy something, Serkis. Right? But you're right. They didn't establish what – they were after, really.
I have a theory on Snoke, by the way.
Yeah, who do you think Snoke is?
All right, you remember when Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, the third one.
All right, where Palpatine's trying to tempt Anakin into the dark side, and he says, look, I know you're afraid that you're going to lose your wife and kids. I could give you a power that will enable you to cheat death. My master... knew how to do that, and I got the power from him, and then I killed him.
Yeah.
Well, he's got this big lightsaber thing across his face.
And Snoke had the similar crevice in his head.
Yeah, and so maybe it's the Emperor's old master that knows how to cheat.
Is that Plagueis? Darth Plagueis?
Yeah, Darth Plagueis.
Is that from like comics or something, Plagueis?
It's from the prequels.
Oh, okay. That would make sense because they were the Empire, right? And now it's the First Order, so they changed it up a little bit. They're like descendants, but not really.
Yeah, they're remnants of the fallen Empire.
It's like the difference between Al Qaeda and ISIS.
Exactly. Like so, they are like ISIS. The Republic is like the U.S. government. The Resistance would be the Syrian backed by the U.S. government fighters against ISIS.
See, I think we're already giving this movie that too much credit because that's why I say this is just a good movie.
But they don't explain this in the movie.
Well, I'm also saying there's no analogy for like real world stuff or anything like that. A lot of movies make that. I think the original Star Wars weren't the Empire kind of like Nazis almost sort of.
They're meant to be Nazis,
right?
Ish.
So what is this though? What is this analogous
to? I really don't
to?
Know what they wanted. And didn't they all die? Isn't the First Order all wiped out now? Weren't they all on the fucking planet and only like General Hux and Kylo Ren made it out?
Oh, you mean
is the
this
Republic
movie?
Dead? Yeah.
It seemed like, right, weren't they? That was like, their, like, their
it seemed
poem,
like everybody
right?
died.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the conflict? Movie's over.
dude, this movie, let's just say this movie is the first movie ever, right, to make over $100 million in a day.
Oh, shit.
That's fucking crazy.
I'm looking up the current box office.
It has opening day... made $119 million. Single day, $119.1 million. Highest Sunday. It has the highest opening weekend. It made $247 million opening weekend. Highest Monday. Highest Christmas Day. Highest 3-day, 4-day, 5-day. Fastest to $50 million, $100 million, $150 million, all the way up to $500 million. Fastest to $1 billion worldwide. And currently, what is it at?
So it's at... a little over $600 million as of Tuesday, December 29th.
Domestic.
Did it beat Avatar yet?
Not yet. It's at $627 million foreign, so it's over at $1.228 billion right now, which would make it all time domestic fifth right now. But
holy shit,
it's on pace.
Yeah,
it's gonna climb.
It's gonna beat. I think it's gonna beat everything. It's gonna be number one.
People are going back and they're dissecting this thing and they're looking for clues.
$29 million on a Tuesday, in domestic.
Wow.
$29 million.
That's
crazy.
That's
a great for a good opening weekend Friday.
For a Friday.
Opening weekend Friday, you make $30 million. You're like, yep, we're doing good.
And it only cost him $200 million.
So when did you guys see it? Like, did you see it opening weekend?
I saw it the Friday it opened. 10 okay. p.m.
When did you see Anthony? It? Oh, I saw it. I went Christmas night thinking it'd be empty, and it was a packed theater.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I saw it like Tuesday or the Tuesday after it came out.
Was it packed? Oh no! In the morning?
Yeah, it was people. There was people there.
Oh wow!
It wasn't packed like to the brim, but it was. There was people. There was like a lot of people. There.
Well, they've done a really good job. They've been and I think the marketing costs and everything I read somewhere online is like $450 million, like total, like production budget plus marketing plus all that. They're still killing it. But I mean, they did a really good job with marketing and like not revealing plot and making this an event.
Yes.
They did a really good job.
Was this a movie or was this really a cultural event?
Because I had to see it and I don't like
it. You had to see it. Yeah. And the brilliant move was the merchandising really made all the money for them. They didn't have to drop a dime. All paid for by all the vendors and merchandise people buying licenses, putting it out there. Like they were making money and not even really spending money on advertising. It's unbelievable.
That's pretty crazy.
That's fucking smart and evil. At the same time. Now, Ruggs, let me ask you this. Where does this movie rank in your Star Wars list of movies?
Okay. It's weird because I love the first Star Wars movie, but I feel like that's the most slow moving of all the movies. It moves very slowly and it's hard to watch like from beginning to end sometimes for me.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of the great stuff is in there. But I'd rather watch, Empire any day, you know, or even Return of the Jedi any day because I love Yoda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put it – I'm going to say Empire, Return of the Jedi, okay, A New Hope, then this one right
following. So right in the middle.
And then Return of the Sith and Attack of the Clones, and then I hate the first one.
Is that
similar for you, Imran?
It's very similar. Hold on, I'm going to play some music under this. you can't deny, this is more suiting to our show anyways.
It is.
By the way, they had another cantina scene just like this one from the first movie.
Yeah.
It's very similar for me. I really, thinking about it more, I have a higher respect for the first one because of what that movie was and what George Lucas was able to do and be crazy and convince everyone to let him do it and set the standard for this shit. You can't deny, you'll never quite recapture that, you know, that kind of thing again and show us something new like that. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go Empire and I'll go Return of the Jedi and then
this
Force Awakens. And then Revenge of the Sith and Clone Wars and the first one. Fuck that first one.
I have two unrelated questions for you guys as Star Wars fans. So is it agreed upon that like Empire Strikes Back and the other two are like way better, and then the first three that came out, or the not the episodes 1 through 3, they're pretty shit. Everyone agrees they're shitty.
Well, the first one is just shitty beyond belief.
Yeah.
The first one is completely irrelevant. We should...
And Lucas directed the episodes 1
Lucas
through 3.
Lucas wrote and directed 1, 2, 3. Now, I think the one thing he can't say in his defense is that those things did have new shit in them. He was trying to introduce new things, where unlike this one was not very... It was just new-ish. Okay. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you got a little bit more of the Jedi Order and that whole idea of what they did.
But
how
he went
they go
too
about
far
things.
Into, like, the politics and that whole Senate shit. Like, it was too much.
Yeah, but that didn't even make any sense anyway.
No. Which is why...
It didn't have any kind of realism to it at all. It was just such bullshit.
Yeah,
it was just
laughable.
A bunch of bullshit.
I mean, fucking E.T. was there. The E.T. people were in the fucking thing.
Were they really?
Yeah, he put them in. I think he put the E.T.s in there as a little Easter egg. But I can't really rank him.
But I was just that was my one question. That was one of my questions. My second, unrelated, like I said. So I've read a lot of stuff online that compares Yoda to this new character Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata, Yellow Yoda.
Yellow Yoda. Is she just as cool as Yoda, or what do you guys think of Maz Kanata?
I think that's unfair. It's just because they're both small CGI and they're a different color.
And
like,
they're like wise, right?
But do you know what Yoda is?
He's a Jedi, right?
He's like, yeah.
He's an old Jedi?
Master.
He is the embodiment of the Force. He's like the Jesus of Jedis.
Oh, no kidding.
There is no other Yoda. They introduced one other Yoda-like character with red hair that was in one of the prequels in the back somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But you never see another Yoda.
No, there is another Yoda, and when he died in Jedi, he was 900 years old.
Yeah, and he just vanished.
And he just kind of disappeared. That's
and now, if you watch the Clone Wars or any of those non-canon, not that they're non-canon anymore, those non-canon
the animated
cartoons.
Show. Yeah.
There's episodes where Yoda, they show you Yoda getting, you know, how he became a Jedi and how he, all that stuff, and how he had to become the embodiment of the Force.
I'll tell you, that's one thing I liked about the prequels is we got to see fucking badass Yoda jump around with a lightsaber. That was pretty badass.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was
great. I love Yoda.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, fuck, Yoda's
so
the bomb.
Maz Kanata.
It was a great character. And I don't know how she got – so that lightsaber, do you know the significance of the lightsaber?
It's Luke's, right?
It's the one that when he got his hand cut off at the end of Empire, which is also Anakin Skywalker. How the fuck did she get it is what I was wondering. How did it end up there?
Another coincidence, right? No, I don't know.
Another coincidence. They just happened to be at
the
place.
The Force drew everyone together.
Isn't that a thing, though? The Force draws people? I don't know. I'm asking.
It kind of is. Like, Force strong people, other people will sense them.
But there's never any sense that she could sense it, and they were happening
now,
to go there.
Now, is she a Jedi? I didn't get that feeling.
Is Kylo Ren a Jedi? I don't even think he's really a Jedi. He's, like, in training. They're like a cult. Like, he built that lightsaber, apparently, and stuff. You know what was funny with his voice? Like, his overmodulation? I loved it.
I liked his voice.
But, like, the podcaster me, I was like, dude, turn that gain down. You're fucking distorting. What are you doing? I just wanted to adjust his EQ.
Here's another question for you, the Star Wars guys, or more fans than I am. So, Han Solo's death, right? Supposed to be a big moment. Okay, for me, it was okay, although I didn't understand why Rey and Leia were embracing when they'd never met before. But
It did not make sense?
Didn't make sense that they were embracing after. But what did that resonate with you? Was that a big moment for you guys? Because that's supposed to be a big moment, right?
Here's the thing. When fucking Darth Vader died, they like had a funeral pyre for him, you know? And that was the bad guy. And granted, it was Darth Vader. Either they forgot about this. I feel like there's lots of things they cut out that they did shoot that like, because like that stormtrooper, the woman stormtrooper. I feel like there was more with her, and because that
Captain
was
Phasm.
Phasm, yeah, that was weird. But either he's not really dead, or it's just it felt rushed towards the end. Like the whole third act felt a little rushed.
What'd you think, Rogue Boy?
Yeah, I think that Han Solo's death
was it a big moment for you?
No, I mean, like, was it cool? Yeah, I think he had to die. I think that it was the right time for him to die. He had done, like, the coolest thing in the world. He carried this movie as much as he could, and he got injured doing it and got fucked up, and that messed up the whole production of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And so he goes out in a Star Wars fashion. His son kills him, you know. That's all fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, some people even say that Han Solo was the one who turned the lightsaber on and so he could son could kill him.
Well, that conversation was, look, will you help me do what it takes to go on? And Han, it was like, yes. Although that whole thing was so predictable a little bit. Like, you knew what the fuck was going to happen.
J.J. Abrams always leaves everything wide open.
The minute he sat there. Yeah. And he goes, yes, I'll help you. Feeling like he knew he had to die. I do agree that they needed to kill one of those three original characters.
I agree.
At least that's you're doing fucking something. Now,
I think the death didn't resonate as much for me just because
Chewbacca should have fucking flipped out.
Right. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of mourning after. Like no, it kind of yeah. went to
they
something
washed
else.
Washed over it and went to the next beat they and went to the next you're beat, like, "Wait yeah. a minute." So,
they didn't let it settle.
It is a lot of typical J.J. Abrams, though. Now that I think about Lost, like, he'll just throw these things here and there and never get back to him, and you're like, maybe it's this. Everything's kind of open, which will get people coming back again.
I mean, there was a ton of hints, too, throughout the movie that he was going to – I mean, Han initially goes to, like, Rey and be like, Chewie's taking a liking to you. Like, they're already, like, pairing them up.
Yeah.
And then, like, it being his son and his son and them being like, you have to, you know, redeem – bring him back. And there's already been one – sort of bad guy in Finn's character that gets redeemed. So you can't have two in the same movie. There was a lot of hints that this was going to happen.
Yeah, it was kind of telegraphed. That, and you know, the whole thing became kind of predictable when you start to realize that, like, oh, they're just doing the same thing again.
There was a lot of stuff online, too. You hit on Phasm.
Yeah.
There were a lot of stuff about her character getting compared to Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And she was apparently not nearly as cool. She was sucked, actually.
I wanted to see more of her, but Boba Fett really didn't do anything either in the first movie. He just kind of stood around.
So maybe she'll
and
get
you're like,
redeemed.
Wow, he looks cool. I was intrigued. But I didn't understand why she folded right away and did what the guy said. She's supposed to be this big general, and like this is one of her insubordinates that's like, I don't know.
You know, the cool thing about Boba Fett, though, is the way he talks to Darth Vader. He's the only one who talks to Darth Vader, like, shut the fuck up.
He
Googled some, I YouTubed some Boba Fett Vader, and the best line that Vader goes to Boba Fett, he goes, no disintegration to Boba Fett when he wants to, like, get him to capture him. I was like, Boba Fett's badass. Boba Fett usually kills people. He has to explain to him, don't do it.
Yeah, you didn't tell him not to kill people. Yeah.
Asshole. What?
He doesn't refer to Vader as Lord Vader either, right? He just talks to him like he's a normal guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Boba Fett, I mean, let's hope the Sarlacc pit didn't eat him and he shows up somewhere. Well, there is that. So moving forward, these movies are coming out every year for the next 5 years.
Yep.
We got Rogue One, a Star Wars story, coming out December 16th, 2016, directed by Gareth Edwards.
Godzilla director,
starring a bunch of people, but it says, following the foundation of the Galactic Empire, a wayward band of rebel fighters comes together to carry out a desperate mission to steal the plans for the Death Star.
So this is like back in the first Star Wars.
Before A New Hope, I guess,
yes,
right?
Before A New Hope is what I've seen.
So then episode VIII, or 8 for you other people, written and directed by Rian Johnson.
What movie is he
What has he done?
Rian Johnson.
We'll look it up. May 26, 2017.
So 2 years from now.
So less than 2 years. You don't really have to wait a long time for all these Star Wars.
They're going
movies.
The Marvel route where it's just every year.
It's very clever. Then it goes Star Wars Anthology, Han Solo, working title. May 25th, 2018. Star Wars Episode 9, 2019. Star Wars Anthology, Boba Fett, 2020.
What's Rian Johnson done?
Rian Johnson. Yeah. Oh, he did Looper. He's directed Breaking Bad, a couple episodes. He's the Looper guy.
You noticed
he's the Looper,
the guy that's doing Episode 9, Colin Trevorrow.
Oh boy,
Jurassic World
director. World guy. formerly was going to be, what's his face? What did Trank have?
No, I think he, Trank, I don't know what he had, but I think he was going to do one of the anthology films.
Oh, he was
Star Wars
anthology.
Story. Yeah.
So, I mean, moving forward, that's exciting. There's still, look, being as little exposition as they gave us, they've got fucking five more times to give us exposition right here. So.
And they got the Boba Fett movie coming out.
They got the Boba Fett movie. It's going to be decompressed so they could spread out. Dude, Star Wars is not going away forever. Disney is closing like 10 attractions to build this giant fucking Star Disneyland Wars land. Holy shit, dude.
Good. Like, and it should be.
Like I said, they're doing the Marvel route too, where it's like Star Wars films, the episodes are the big like Avengers films.
The event films
in between,
and then the character films.
Side stories.
So Disney, Star Wars, Disney buying Star Wars, good for the franchise? Or is this treading the line of I don't know.
Financially, it's great.
Well, financially
Go ahead.
Is
Go ahead,
great.
Rug.
What does Star Wars mean to you? I mean, as far as like, do you talk about Disney taking over and now like bringing it to a new era? Now doing the Avengers tentpole thing where they're gonna release a bunch of movies all the time. You know, what does it mean to you? Do you think that it should be like up there with Marvel and like this huge thing that's going to be in people's lives forever, or like what do you think about it? Do you think it's something Anthony does not connect with it?
No,
he's not connecting to it. So let's try and sell him on it. Let's try and sell him on why we think it's good, or if we think it's good.
I mean, for me, it's part of it is exciting that after like 30 years, this is the first movie that really feels like Star Wars. And ultimately, at the end of the day, all I wanted was this movie to give me that little bit of that feeling I had when I was 8 years old watching Return of the Jedi. And like I said, I think I had a big grin on my face the whole time. And so I think it hit its mark now. And I hope that it adds more to that feeling and doesn't, Disney doesn't take it off the rails.
I think
much.
In some ways it's already kind of accomplished what it's supposed to do, which is bring in new fans and stuff, because it brought me in to see this movie. Granted, I'm not like going to be dying to see these other movies, but just the hype alone was like, I actually have to do this because I'm going to feel left out of the conversation. And then even after the movie was over, even though I thought it was good, I mean, I went on YouTube and looked at YouTube some Star Wars clips and read some old Star Wars plots and tried to figure out what was going on. Like, that's already, I think, a win for a
it did,
Star
you know,
Wars.
It did kind of want to make me go back and watch Empire and Star Wars and Jedi.
Yeah.
I feel like Star Wars in general is stupid, okay? And a lot of people are going to be pissed that I said that.
Dude, even Alec Guinness, that's what he said initially. He goes, yeah, it's childish garbage. It could be interesting.
Is that what you mean by that, being stupid, Rugway?
Yeah, it's like really stupid. Like nothing that – like it's basically like a pastiche, or like they throw everything into the same thing. They throw like – like Amaron was saying, like samurai movies, like sword fighting, and then like a dog fights in outer space with sound, which shouldn't happen, and aerodynamics that don't happen in real life, sci-fi and fantasy and all these different elements, like kind of like piled into one thing. But you got to give it credit where credit is due, because George Lucas did this without adapting anything. Yeah. He came up with this. Mm-hmm. This was something that's created in a movie, and nothing like that has been done or duplicated. Even Jurassic Park, that's based on a successful novel.
Right.
Like this was generated for film. It's the cinema's sci-fi, juggernaut. It's the cinema's IP. Yeah. This is their sci-fi IP. This is the nexus of like cinematic IP. Like Star Trek was a TV show, it got adapted to movies. So this is the only thing that was born in the cinema that has this kind of like huge following and is it reaches across all of these different like genres. Okay, but at the same time, it's stupid. All right.
Yeah.
The thing that saves it, I think, because like nobody knows why there's a galactic empire. Nobody knows why they're taking over the Quasars. That's a fucking big job to take over the galaxy. That's a lot of fucking people. I mean, you'd think that Rome, they had like all of these fucking the centurions like based out all over like Europe and shit, and they could barely hold it together without people sacking them all the time.
Sounds like a headache.
How would you be so spread out, so thin?
Yeah.
You need billions of people like falling into line to have a galactic empire. It's just like it's a huge feat, okay, to try and pull this shit off. Okay, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but all the stuff in there is stupid.
Yeah.
If you think about it, but there's something about it that it just appeals to sci-fi fantasy. That's
I mean, the amazing thing that Lucas did was take something that's just so obviously, like you said, stupid and geeky and niche-y and make it so relatable.
But there's no science in Star Wars. Like, there's no – like, if you would sit there – if you're a Star Trek fan, there's some science in Star Trek. They're trying to.
It's all –
this is all like – this is all like someone telling you a bedtime story.
So it's not even sci-fi. It's just straight fiction.
It's a fable. It's a science fiction fable. But, you know, the other thing he did is, like, this movie was him. Like, he was – he had this vision that nobody had ever seen anywhere. And being able to do it pushed the whole medium forward.
For sure. You have to give him kudos to – I mean, I'm not immersed in the universe, but Star Wars is the franchise. It's the franchise in movie.
It's the biggest pop culture thing, really,
anywhere.
It's the
biggest. It's the movie. It's literally the movie that – everyone knows about.
Yeah.
It's literally it's the number one movie.
It's the movie that you're made fun of if you haven't seen
it.
Still,
it's the number one thing. Like it's the number one pop culture thing. Movie, anything
or otherwise.
Right. It's always been like that for a while now too. Even when the movies weren't coming out, you still talked about Star Wars.
I am just afraid that it will become a parody of what it is instead of trying to enrich this world and grow and push boundaries, that it's just going to be like a satire of what it was over and over again.
I just think as people get older and more cynical, like the fact that it's grounded in nonsense.
Yeah.
It's going to get.
It gets aggravating.
Yes. Because as you get older and you're like, there's no sound in space. There's none of this. None of, you know, like.
That's a good point.
They don't scream into the air. Like, I can understand. Like, one of the things I liked about this movie that they had, like, a lot of the dogfights were on, like, a planet where there is atmosphere and there is sound, and that makes it cool. But when they're out in space, they shouldn't have that. Like, you watch Battlestar Galactica, that's grounded in actual science.
Yeah, I love how they shoot that, where it's, like, shaky handheld cam, but it's completely silent all the time.
Yes. And you don't even see the explosion.
That's funny you said that. A lot of people complain that there wasn't enough space battles. Like, you can't fucking win these days anyway. So
I saw that complaint where it's called Star Wars, yet you were battling on Earths, basically. Yeah.
Look, when it comes down to it, no one gives a fuck. It's a movie about Star Wars.
Here's my prediction, I think, just from like a cynical society sort of view. I think society is accepting this one because it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
But these next couple ones better bring some new shit. And they better fucking make sense. Or else people are going to start shitting on these things like they did with Avengers Age of Ultron.
You think they're giving this a pass, too? Because
this one gets a pass. This one gets a pass. But just like Avengers Age of Ultron, which got a lot of shit because things didn't make sense.
Yeah.
If they come out with Star Wars Episode 8 and it doesn't fucking make sense and there's no new shit, it's going to get shit on.
They were falling into that trap of setting up everything else a little bit like Avengers.
There's like a level of stupidity, all right, that you can get away with. But it's like the level of stupidity has to be like the normal person wouldn't question it. Mm. All right. Like, oh, that doesn't make – you know, if the normal guy just sitting there like going, that doesn't make sense, then you got a problem.
That, you know?
You can call me the normal guy.
No, if you got
bro, do you even podcast?
If you got this guy going, wait a minute.
I mean, obviously there's going to be guys at MIT going, this doesn't make sense. Normal, you know, in a scientific way, you know, like, you know, that doesn't make sense. But like we're not – but if a normal guy is like going, this is bullshit, like, you know, then you got a problem.
It's going to be hard, like, because writing it, you have to adapt to the audience's cynicism instead of just hitting those same nostalgia beats again like the first one, because that worked in 77 and in the early 80s.
Nostalgia only works when it's used like every 20 years.
You're right. You're
correct. When it's every – and this is something I noticed too just when I was watching pro wrestling as a kid.
Yeah.
Like growing up, they would bring back Hulk Hogan and everyone would be like, oh, Hulk Hogan's back. But then he'd be back every week and people would be like, wait a minute, it's this fucking old guy wrestling.
It's not so special anymore.
It's not special
anymore. It's some old dude.
So they have to bring something new in my opinion or else the nostalgia will wear off.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good point.
They left a lot of threads. There's a lot of ways it could go,
and that's what I mean. That's with any franchise too. Yeah. You can't hit on nostalgia. You can't just go back to nostalgia.
You can't follow.
I think that's even like where Star Trek. There was a lot of problems with Star Trek Into Darkness, but they brought back Khan, which were they're trying to hit on the nostalgia beat, but it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people shitted on that movie.
Yeah, they didn't like Cumberbatch's Khan.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have to do something different. They're going to have to add new things. They have to add to the mystique of this universe, right?
Well, yes, let's enrich it. If you can't be like new and groundbreaking, let's expand it a little bit. Let's add, I mean, we had the great BB-8, but then, you know, that's your R2, right?
Well, why can't you make things make sense when you write a movie? Why is that so hard to do?
You know, I noticed, like, I read another thing. I think a lot of things were cut out that would help make sense. Like, if you notice the jacket on Finn and Rey, they switch back and forth.
Oh, you mean they were wearing the same jacket?
No, but meaning Finn was wearing Poe's jacket at one point,
right.
And then Rey was wearing the jacket. And then it was back on him in a later scene, meaning there was a scene where something happened and he gave it to her, and then, like, they cut all this out or something. So. I don't know, but I just felt like it could have used a little bit more exposition, a little bit more originality.
One more question for you guys.
Fun movie.
Are you guys excited for Rogue One? It not being an episode tentpole film?
I mean,
kind of the first of its kind, right?
I like Star Wars Rebels, and it's basically the same timeline,
That's true. It's that same time frame. If they could capture...
Or does it hurt it that it's kind of like a prequel and you kind of know where it's going to end?
Well, look, it's, this takes place before
A New Hope. So it's when they're building the Death Star and they infiltrate.
Yeah, so it's parallel with Rebels, basically. So in Rebels, if you know, and that's got to be canon because they're putting it out.
That is canon.
All right, you got a lot of people that are cool. You got Kanan, who is a Jedi. You got the new young kid. You got Jedis out there that are popping up now, that are coming out of the woodwork.
Maybe Taylor Gray can get a spot as Ezra Bridger.
Oh, shit.
But I'd like to see Ahsoka Tano in there. Maybe she jumps in there.
Those are great characters on Star Wars Rebels.
I'm seeing Donnie Yen on there, Mads Mikkelsen, Forest Whitaker, Alan Tudyk are all in this film.
Yeah. I mean,
names.
There's going to be some kung fu-age going on. That's, you know, Donnie Yen's in there. You're going to get the fucking Yen.
I hope. I said this earlier. Why can't we see Darth Vader in that movie?
We could.
Right? Fucking James Earl Jones, put a guy in a suit, you got fucking Darth Vader.
The only reason I don't know if that's going to happen is I read that these films won't have much crossover with the episode films. They're kind of their own story with own characters.
They should have Vader in there.
I mean, that's part of the whole plan. Like, maybe
they got Vader in Rebels. They should have Vader.
Yeah, Vader, he is in Star Wars Rebels. James Earl Jones does do the voice. So
does this being kind of its own story
excite
you?
It could be like Star Wars Rebels. Actually, now I'm a little more excited because that is a great time frame.
Rebels, they've built up this new team of cool people.
Yeah.
And if they were to just take Rebels and make it into a movie, like with real people, it'd be cool.
You think Gareth Edwards will just tease Vader throughout the film like he teased Godzilla and then show him at the end?
I hope not. Because you got to show like a Vader who's like
he'd still be on his way, right?
Yeah, he'd be just getting there.
He'd be like commanding respect as the film goes along, right?
Right. Yeah. You could show him do it. That'd be cool. It seems to have a little more potential because they can be more open-ended with it.
They can do a little more, right?
Yeah, they can do a little more, and hopefully they do a little more.
But that was the thing about Episode 7, which is the new one that came out.
Yeah.
You would have thought they would have done more because they had nothing tying it back.
I feel like they were like, Disney was like, look, let's
make a good movie.
Just make it fun and Star Wars, and we could go from there because really we want people to forget the last Star Wars movie. Let's not get too crazy, which I don't know. I don't think that was...
That's not necessarily a bad game plan.
It's not a bad thing. And, I mean, it was crafted wonderfully. Like, just like Rugboy said at the beginning, paced great, looks great. So I think...
Story's just not there.
It left you with a good feeling, but you can't... There's some unforgivable things that happened in it.
Yeah. Right.
There's the way too many coincidences. There's the fact that the Sith power or whatever you want to... Kylo Ren's powers were, like, uneven. The fact that... Finn could actually fight him, and then Rey getting all these powers in one shot.
But what about Finn's stormtrooper training? Don't you think that gives him a little bit of an edge?
But then it would, but then he infiltrates the base and goes, I was a janitor.
Oh, well, you think they train the sanitation guys for battle?
No, I think that he was working his way through the ranks, and he was, you know, for a very long time trying to get into that whole... You know, the front line thing.
Two more questions. What did you think of in the beginning when he gets that bloodstained mark on his face?
That was cool.
I kind of like that.
That was really cool.
Because now you can identify him.
That's why they did it.
Yeah. And you know, and that was great. And
yeah.
Who was that guy in the very beginning? Fucking Max
Von Sydow.
Max Von Sydow.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And why was he sitting on this fucking thing for 30 years? There's a – I could tell you, but
– Well, I like the blood thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, tell me. Why not? Why? Tell me.
It's
While you're looking that up, I like the blood thing, too, because the stormtrooper outfit for me has always been looking like a stupid costume. So when you just put the blood on it, it just – heightens the film a little bit. Like, oh wait, this is actually a real film. This isn't someone cosplaying right now.
I mean, I think it's they really humanize, like, aside from the Clone Wars shit, like they humanize
stormtroopers
very interestingly.
So there's some old guy we're referring to.
Hold on, I forgot where
the old guy at the beginning.
That's that gives them.
No, there's an old guy that that gives the information to Poe
Dameron.
Oh yeah.
He has the USB drive.
Max von Sydow.
The USB drive.
It was a USB.
They
still use USB. It's still good fucking technology.
It has to be secure, so that's why they.
It's a secure. It's USB 3, so it's like really fast. His character's name was Lor San Tekka.
How do they come up with these names?
I think he just like has a bag of Scrabble letters and just grabs random things and he goes, "Okay, that's the name."
Was Kylo Ren just a play on his name being Ben?
Oh, his real name's Ben Solo. Now, Ben there's Solo. Something with the Knights of the Ren. I'm not really sure. Okay. It says here, Lor San Tekka was a follower of the Church of the Force, an underground faith of loosely affiliated followers of Jedi ideals. He also knew the history of Leia Organa. He had dealings with the Resistance X-Wing pilot Poe, blah, blah, blah. Oh, kept the piece of map. Okay, so this is what happens.
So they don't really explain much about him. Now, he knows
Princess Leia, and then he gets killed.
What's up, Ruggs?
Let's talk about the Force real quick, because... the weird thing about this movie, you can't describe shit the way you used to describe shit because, all right, the resistance is different, and then the Empire is now the New Order or the First Order or the
First Order, right?
Yeah, the First Order, and there's no more Sith, really.
No, well,
Kylo Ren's not a Sith.
He's not a Sith.
What's a Sith? A bad Jedi?
Yeah,
it's an order. Like, okay, the Jedi and the Sith are these orders that they made up.
Oh, okay.
They're just kind
of
like...
What's the light and the dark balance of the Force?
The Force is there.
Right.
All right? Whoever wants to use it, however they want to use it, it's there for them to use. But these two orders split and say... And one order was like, we're going to use it using all the good in the world. And the other one says we're going to use the evil.
They give in to their dark side. Mm. Yeah.
Because but there's other Force followers. There could be these other factions that people that use the Force that are neither Jedi nor Sith that kind of have the best of both worlds.
Well, and then the Darth is like a Sith title, so you got to be Darth something to
Darth
be like
Vader, Darth Maul,
Darth Maul, Darth.
Yeah.
Sidious.
So if you're a Sith, that's why he's not called Darth Kylo or Darth Ren. He's just called Kylo Ren because he's not a Sith.
Plus, he still has to like answer to that general and Snoke, like. It was kind of confusing where his position was, really.
Yeah, he's just like a heavy that they use
to
do shit.
But there's a knight. There's Knights of Ren. I guess there's a bunch of these guys that, like, worship
Kylo.
The dark side of the Force or some shit. I don't know. They didn't explain it.
So, like, yeah. So it's crazy that now there's all these, like, these splinter groups of different kind of Force wielders. Like, there's not even a word for it yet.
But that's why I don't want Rey to be – Luke's daughter, because it should be that the Force is there and really anybody can be a Jedi. It's just certain people are tuned
into
it.
You have to train. You have to be born with the...
Oh, you got to be born with something?
Yeah, you got to be born with the midichlorians.
Oh, but fuck those midichlorians. I don't even like that bullshit.
Yeah, but they introduced it, so it's there.
That's why that first movie is bullshit.
Which one? Episode 1 or Episode 4?
Establishes that Anakin it has a lot of midichlorians in his body, which makes you in tune to the Force.
Got it.
We should mention Machete Order real quick on the show, because I don't think I've been talking about it. But do you know about Machete Order? How to watch the Star Wars movies?
No.
The best way to watch them, not in episode fashion, not in release date. This guy figured it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's called Machete Order. This is what you do. You watch New Hope.
Right.
Then you watch Empire Strikes Back. Right. Okay. So at the end of that movie, cliffhanger, Luke finds out Darth is his dad. His hand's cut off. So far, it's been about Luke. Then you take a flashback. You go to episode 2 and we meet young Anakin at Hayden Christensen level. Then you watch episode 3 and you find out how Darth becomes Darth. Then you come back and watch Return of the Jedi, and it kind of complete. And
you never watch the
first movie does not count at all, no, because it ruins everything. Because you don't want to see Darth Vader as a whiny little kid and like It has cool parts, but as far as that story, like, I think that's a really fun way to watch it.
I never got how Anakin, like, he was a little kid in that movie, and like Natalie Portman's already like maybe 15 years old. I don't get how
that was hot.
They hook up.
No, I think that like Anakin was like maybe 10.
Yeah,
she was like 12
or 9, and she was like 12.
Really?
Yeah,
she looked a little older.
No, she always looks old.
Yeah.
Oh, she's like 12.
She's like 12, maybe 13 at the most.
She looked way older than him to me. But yeah, 3 years is nothing.
I do think, though, if you now watch Machete Order and then you watch The Force Awakens, you're going to be like, hey, I already saw all this stuff in all the other movies. Come on. It's like, it's not going to be.
It's what you guys have been saying.
Yeah,
right?
It's funny when you think about it that way. Nah.
Any final thoughts?
If you watch The Clone Wars and that's the first time you see them, they look fine together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks fucking
Clone Wars, they look fine. Yeah.
All right, gang. I have, of course, this is the Jock and Nerd Podcast, and I have some comic book recommendations. If you like Star Wars, check out some of these books.
Sounds good. The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Oh, thanks, DD69. So I finally I had a huge stack of comic books. And before the movie, I like powered through all the Star Wars books that have been sitting there. And it was actually really enjoyable. Marvel is making Star Wars comic books. They got the property back, obviously. It actually started at Marvel, then went to like Dark Horse, then came back to Marvel. But they have a couple of awesome titles, one being just called Star Wars. It's written by Jason Aaron, who's an amazing writer, and it takes place after A New Hope. So if you like that, if you want to get back to that kind of early Star Wars with young Luke, Leia, and Han, and Chewie, and those adventures, this title follows that. It's really well done. Coinciding with this title is another great title called Darth Vader, and you learn a lot about Vader. He has a pair of droids that are like evil C-3PO R2-D2. It's pretty hilarious because the C-3PO droid just keeps talking about how he wants to torture and kill people. Like, and I just imagine it's like in a cheery English accent. It works really well. That one's written by Kieran Gillen, and it has a bunch of really great artists on there, and they're doing this crossover now. That's really good. There's also this 4-issue limited series. There's this thing called Journey to the Force Awakens that's branded on a bunch of books and tie-in novels. This one, it's called Shattered Empire. It's 4 issues. It takes place immediately after Return of the Jedi. Actually, the end of that movie is in the beginning of this book. And it stars Poe Dameron's parents, which I thought was pretty cool. And finally, a book that I heard that's good that I haven't read, but I just bought today when we went, Lando, the Lando title by Charles Sewell, art by Alex Maleev. I bought like the first 6 issues, so I'm going to fucking read that. I heard it's
Lando.
He's landing things everywhere. It's nothing. I imagine it's nothing but like a sex porn book of Lando, like banging the aliens.
Lando's like at all the Comic Cons, right?
He's Billy Dee Williams is having a blast right about now.
Everybody loves a good Lando.
Everybody loves a good Lando. So I have links to all these things in the show notes. Guys, if you want to check out the show notes, just check your podcast app or go to jockandnerd.com/StarWarsVII. Is that right? Is that
Or you could just type in jockandnerd.com/69, right?
Or you could put, if you like to type 69, that's where can use.
It's good time.
69.
Since it's episode 69, we're pleasuring each other at the same exact time.
That's right. You, the listener, have now been involved in a 60 Duck and Nerd 69.
We're having fun. You're having fun. It's a 69 of fun.
It's mutual.
Oh, even DD69 loves the 69. We 69 everyone. All right, before we wrap it up, I got a couple of things to mention, a couple of blab things. We have a speak pipe, and we have some reviews. Listener, if you don't know, Anthony, myself, and Rugboy do live shows called Jock and Nerd Weeklies on Blab during the comic book TV season.
Yes.
And we will be getting back on those Blabs in mid-January when the show starts. But before that, Ruggs, I haven't told you this, and you're going to want to be on this. They're doing this thing on Blab called Podcast Fan Day, where a bunch of podcasters come in, and the fans come, and they talk to them. So whatever. It's just more exposure.
We're just going to talk to fans.
Yeah, we're just going to talk to, like, people. It's like,
how is that any different than what we normally do?
It's not really. It's but it's put on by Blab, so there should be a lot of traffic, people going from show to show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll put a link in the show notes, and you can also follow them on Twitter at Podcaster Fan Day. It's January. If you're listening to this before Wednesday, January 13th, It'll be 8 p.m. Central Time. If you're listening to it afterwards, you can click jockandnerd.com/live. Check out the replay. So that should be a lot of fun. And then the following week, we'll probably be back on the blab doing all the TV shows. Come back.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Clapping in here. I miss the blab.
You do. You miss seeing
it.
Right? Rugboy loves the blab. It's a lot of fun. Just go to jockandnerd.com/live to find all the links and events coming up on blab. Hey, guys, we got a speak pipe.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it. Let's see if it even...
Yeah, this here's the angry old man calling you again. Listen, this whole Star Wars, Star Trek movie thing that's out now, everyone's going crazy for. My kid drugged me to it. I got a question for you. What the hell did I just watch? It's like a bunch of guys flying around and shooting, and why is it that the guys in the white, they can't hit nobody, but everybody can hit them? I don't get it. Maybe they should wear camouflage. Is this supposed to be the future? I don't know. Well, I don't. You guys, I think I'm going to start listening to the jock more. The nerd, you're starting to. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Oh, fuck that guy, angry old man.
Who is that?
It's angry old man. He called in before. He was grumpy old man last time he called.
Was he on the blab?
No. It's another buddy of mine.
Oh, okay, cool.
There's a lot of, you know, a lot of old men.
I know a lot of old angry men.
Well, you're of that age. So,
look,
yeah.
If you guys want to do that, just go to jockandnerd.com/contact.
Whoever he is, he makes a great point. He should listen to me rather than you, yes.
Hopefully, okay, an angry old man, hopefully you heard this and we answered some of your questions about what the fuck's going on. And DD69 says, stop being
scared. They're all suffering from arrow bad guy syndrome, where they shoot bullets, but no one ever
hits
anything.
Lots of wild shooting and missing, only for the bad guys.
Yeah.
Listener, if you want to contact us some such way like that, just go to jockandnerd.com/contact or look in your show notes. You can send us an email, Twitter. All the links are there. The other thing you can do is send us a review, and we've got some new reviews.
Nice.
Yeah, two new 5-star reviews. This one comes from Joe Wapo. Says, funny and smart comic/pop commentary. Anthony and Imran are extremely knowledgeable about all things sports and pop culture, and the information is presented in an entertaining way. Great guest, too. Thanks, Joe Wapo. Yeah. You know who Joe is.
No idea. I know who he is, but I'm not going to reveal that who he is because I don't want this to seem like we.
Next review is that. We love them. We didn't pay anyone, people. I swear to God. Shut up, DD869.
Yeah, you guys have no money to pay anybody.
No, we're not making.
We lose money every time we record.
Sorry, DD69. I forgot to tell you, you're not getting paid.
Yeah.
The next review.
Get lying.
Five stars. We love them, from Ava's Daddy. Live nude puppets, love these guys. Great stuff. Subscribe like we did. That, I believe, is Bobby Puppet that we met on the blab one blab ago. Thank you so much. Live nude, the puppets are great also. Who doesn't like live nude puppets? Like, I'm looking at one right now, Rugboy. Where are your clothes?
Whoa. I was doing a 69 episode, so I got in the mood.
That's why we do we were supposed to do the 69 episode on blab, but whatever.
No, yeah, it's
we'll
fine.
Do a fake one.
You can tell them it's a 69, but it'll really be a 70.
Listener, I want you to leave us a creative review and subscribe. Just go to jockandnerd.com/review. It takes you to our iTunes page. That way you'll get every show right away. And if you like what you hear, if we made you chuckle, leave us a little review. Leave us a little rating.
Helps the show.
We would appreciate it.
Definitely helps the show.
Rugs, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitters at @reallyrugboy. I haven't been checking it because it's been a crazy holiday season over here Rugboy world.
Speaking of holiday season, did you get any cool gifts?
What did I get? I got some comics.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then I think that's about it.
The reason I bring this up is because this is the time of year that lots of people give and receive Apple iOS devices.
Or 69s. This is
true. Or 69s. Now, listener, if you're listening to this and you have gotten a new Apple phone, you can get us right on your phone. Just hit that podcast app and subscribe. And if you've gifted an iPhone, go force them to subscribe too. But most importantly, just tell a friend. Tell a friend who's gotten a brand new iPhone.
How would DD69 say that?
So this is translation for this.
Talking nerd.
Right? This. Or this.
Jockin' Nerd.
So if you're a droid, give him one of these. If you're a person, give him one of these.
Jockin' Nerd.
and spread the geekery. Thanks for listening, everyone. We love every second you hang out with us. This has been the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the Jock.
And he's the Nerd.
And we'll check you next time.
And may the Fox be with you.
I fucked that up.
It's okay.
I'm going to play this. Star Wars heavy metal. May the Schwartz be with you.
Merchandising.
Merchandising. I love
Spaceballs.
You gotta
watch Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is
merchandising.
Oh, your Schwartz is bigger than my Schwartz. Oh, I see.
What do they call Darth Vader then?
Dark Helmet?
Dark Helmet, yeah.
Dark Helmet.
He's like, Drew-ish? Funny, she doesn't look Drew-ish.
That's a great movie. That is
I'm a half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend. I can do every line. You can't breathe in this thing. Who else here is an asshole? I'm surrounded by assholes. Yes, sir.
Comb the desert.
We're combing the desert. They're jamming our radar. It's strawberry, sir. And then they put the tape in. Wait, this is now? This is then now? Why don't we just go to the then? Because it hasn't happened now.
But when will that be now?
When will that be
soon
now? Spaceballs is so great.
Talking nerd.
Hateful Eight. Have you seen Hateful Eight?
Yes, I did.
How's that?
Heard that wasn't good.
No, not that it wasn't good. It was good, but it was too long. It could have been like a half hour shorter.
They could have cut all
is
that
it crazy
shit
violent.
Is
like
it
Tarantino
good Tarantino
style?
Or just
not
okay
really?
Tarantino.
It was just all talking. It was just all talking.
Talky talky.
Let me just. I'll try and without ruining it, give you a pitch for what it's about. All right.
Okay.
When somebody says, come walks up to you and says, hey, I'm this guy and I'm a famous film director, what do? You pick out your phone secretly and then you like look him up and see what the fuck he's talking about, if he's legit, right?
Yeah.
Or someone said, hey, I fucked this model. You look up the model on your phone, right? Because you can like kind of fact check everything that people said.
Yeah.
This is a time in the world where people could just lie.
Oh, nobody knew.
And no one can fucking fact check you. There's no way I can walk up to you and say, hey, I'm fucking the Pope. And you're like, you know, like, okay. You look like the Pope. Yeah, I am the real law. I'm the Pope. And you just convince me. You can, this all this is a movie about people bullshitting each other.
So you really you don't know who to believe at any time.
Yes. Wow. It's all about how much. So it's about a time, it's about a point in history where people could just lie. And there's a MacGuffin, of course. It's like there's a woman that's being brought to being executed. Mm. And the guy is Kurt Russell's bringing this woman to be executed and get this huge reward. And every person he meets, he's got to be like, yo, I don't know what the fuck your intentions are, but I'm fucking bringing this girl to get executed and I'm getting the payload. And every person that he meets, he's got a fucking cock block and make sure that that dude is legit and keep an eye on this guy. So the whole movie is that.
That sounds Quentin Tarantino, yeah, too. Like, I can see.
But it all takes place in one little cabin.
But did you see it? You didn't see it like wide 70 millimeter or anything?
There's no reason for this movie to be shot in 70 millimeter.
Because it's like, it might as well be a stage play.
Yeah, that's exactly what it should be. It actually would be a genius play.
I bet it would be a really good play.
That does sound like a stage play because it's one location.
Well,
right?
It's a stagecoach, right? And then inside the cabin. That's it.
That's it.
You could do that on a play.
You could
on
definitely
a stage.
Do that on stage.
It's a play. That's what it is.
It's a play they filmed. All right. But,
so the 70 millimeter needed to be shot on film. Quentin Tarantino could suck my balls because he did not need to fucking
that's
do
kind
that
of a waste.
At all.
Yeah, it's kind of
it's a
waste.
You want to fucking shoot, okay? Let me see fucking Ben-Hur. Like, do a fucking...
Or any kind of landscape wide out in the open fucking...
Yeah, it's just white on white. It's really okay. I mean, it's beautiful in a sense, but I mean, come on. They said that Harvey Weinstein had the pony up like something like 50 grand or something like that.
He caused a lot of problems with that 70mm cut with theaters and Star Wars was bullying them and shit.
Yeah, you can go suck my dick because like... You could have shot it on digital. It would have been just as – there would be difference.
You might need to just include the post-show, him saying, Quentin Tarantino can suck my dick.
I'll put the review of
– he's a brilliant dude, but he's got to get his head out of his ass, all right?
A little too artsy for his own good.
Well, you know, I mean, like, the movie is not about cinema.
Right.
I mean, Kill Bill was way more cinematic than this.
Natural Born Killers, like that's.
So this was more just a character film than cinema.
Yeah, it sounds like
this is Reservoir Dogs, basically.
Oh yeah,
that's what it sounded like. Yeah. The same kind of thing where you have one,
you have a group
here,
of people, and then they're like, "Who's who?" Here, and this guy,
who to trust, and who's a fucking double agent, and who, it sounds like, which I love that. That's good, Quentin Tarantino. How many times do they say the N-word?
Dude, it's all about the N-word.
Even more than Django.
Yeah, because like Samuel L. Jackson's like one of the main characters.
Oh,
like,
every other word.
And you know,
it's in his contract.
Yeah. There's a lot of people swinging into that word. It's fences.
Stepping into it.
Let me try this one. Right there.
Let me try this one.
Deep backfield. I'm gonna hit this one right out there.
Calling my shot on this.
I'm gonna put a little extra English on this next one.
Yeah, they were saying it like it was going on a style.